The greatest man that ever lived on earth was Solomon. I mean, the greatest, wisest man that ever lived on earth. Of course, we don't compare him to Christ. But Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived on earth. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes said that this is a crime when the princes walk and the servants ride. The servants are riding the horse and the prince is walking on the ground. Now, one is a servant and the other is the prince. Your spirit is supposed to be the prince. It's the king of your body. God gives you. Now, you are not the body. You express yourself in your body. But when you leave your body here because you are not going to heaven. You are, but your body is not. You get another body when you leave. But Paul said, when I am gone from this earthly tabernacle, I shall be present with the Lord up there. Paul is up in heaven, but his body is still down here. Now, the body is what I function is. It's what I live in. It's my servant. I tell it, let's pray. All right, my body carries me over here. And I get down on my knees. And I pray long as I want to directly. My body don't say, Hibbert, you get it. Well, I may feel a little bad. And I said, no, I'm going to pray. I have control. You see, I'm riding and the servant is walking. But he said the crisis is when it's reversed, when the prince is walking and the servant is riding. Now, most people in America today, their body controls their spirit. They have got their spirit so geared up and in such a condition that it's pathetic. They're not living, they're existing. Their physical body is doing the dominating, and it's demanding liquor, and it'll get liquor. And not too long ago, there was a girl that she was taking certain sedatives, you know, and the doctor told her, said, now, here at Christmas time, don't you take any liquor, because those two don't mix, you know. And the last I heard, that's about 12 years ago, she's still just a vegetable. And when she took this vodka, her boyfriend came up, and she just wanted a little sip of it, and she mixed this with the other drug, and when she did, she went out. She's never known a thing. She's never been able to speak. Last I heard, it was 12 years past. They still feed her through the veins. She can't legally be dead. But she's just like a vegetable, taking one little drink, mixing drugs in your body. Now, the first thing, God is very displeased with you. He wants you to be a man or a woman. He made you perfect, and he hasn't lost any of his power. He is able to say to a man, lay down, and laid down, and he put him under sleep. He reached in, got a rib, put it over here, and made a brand new woman out of it. She got through. She had teeth. She had kidneys. She had her liver. She had her lungs. She had everything that was needed, and she had her tonsils and all, and he made it out of a bone. Now, that same God sent his son to this world with a covenant through Isaiah that when he comes, He hath borne a grief and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. We're healed. And then Peter says, 1 Peter 1:24, it said, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, ye were healed. You're not going to be healed. When you come up here this morning and you're sick, and I pray for you and you're healed, you say, I received my healing this morning. But in reality, you don't say, God, heal me now. He healed you when he said he healed you. When did God save a man? If you're here this morning and you're lost as the goose, you're away from God. If you died, you'd go right straight to hell. All right, you come up to the front. You say to me, Brother Hibbert, what do I have to do to be saved? And I'll say, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and no works, it's just by faith. You believe on the Lord, confess your sins, and God promised in His Word to forgive you. It's grace. It's a gift. Well, now, what does God do? He don't have to do a thing. He's already done it. When Christ hung on the cross, He died for your sins, and if we believe on Jesus Christ, we're born again. And that's how a man is born again, is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, I'm going to come on back to what I was talking about now. Nicodemus said, Lord, how can a man be born again? Can he go back somehow, enter into his mother's womb the second time, and then be born? Jesus said, no, that's not the way. I'm not talking about that which is born of the flesh, said mama. You was born of your mama, that's flesh. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say of you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you don't, and if you're never born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And Jesus said it. So I don't care what you believe and what doctrine you have and where you come from. If you are not born again, before you go out to meet your God, there's no way you'll ever go to heaven. Now, that is true. I don't care what you believe. Your believing don't do away with God's word. So let every man be a liar, but God's word be the truth. Now, when he was confronted with the fact, it's got to be done. I've got to do it. I don't want to go to hell. He said, Lord, how can these things be? Tell me. How's a man born again? Just what does he have to do? Now, show me, step to step. And Jesus said, all right. Now, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, they were bitten of serpents and they were dying. The serpent had bite them, and in a few minutes they'd swell, turn black, and die. They were dying just like that. And they called on God, and God said, take a serpent, make it out of brass, like the snakes that bite them. And take that serpent and hang it on a pole in the midst of the camp. And you tell every one of my people, you see, this was a beautiful type of his son. The curse is in the midst of the camp. And Moses said, God, take it away. It's killing people by the thousands. Take it away. He said, no, I'm going to leave it right there. If they're bit, I'm going to make a provision for the bite. But I'm not going to take the serpent away, neither will I take the poison away. I am going to give them an antidote. And there is only one antidote to be had. No doctor can heal them of that bite. There is no medicine can heal them of the bite. But I say take a brazen snake, make it out of brass, put it on a pole, and put it up in the midst of the camp, and tell the people that God said, all you have to do is eyeball it. Don't have to believe a thing. You don't have to believe in it. I'm not requiring you to believe. I'm just requiring you to eyeball it. If you can open your eyes and look at it, the minute the contact is made, I am God. I said it. You don't understand it. I don't expect you to. You don't have to believe it. I'm asking you to obey it. Look, and you'll live. So when they were dying, there was no hope. There is the end of the road. The only hope is trying this thing that seems so warped and unreasonable. And they were bitten. And when a scream went out, a young girl, 16 years old, has been bitten. The snake bit her, and now she's swelling. They grab her and rush her there real quickly and say, honey, just look, just look, just look. And as she looked, the minute she looked, God Almighty is forced by His Word to go into power. And so immediately the power comes down and curses the poison. And that girl immediately begins to breathe. And the pain's gone. She's not gradually getting better. It's like they touched the troubled water when the angel came down. And whoever got in, it didn't matter what their trouble was. When they touched the troubled water, they were instantly healed.
You don't have to play around with it. So when they looked, the girl began to rejoice. Mama, I'm all right, Mama. And Mother screamed and shouted and praised God, and Daddy, she got up off of the cot and went her way. In a little while, a six-year-old boy comes. Here he comes. He's dying. He's swelling. He's black. He's at the end of the rope. And said, honey, look, look, look at that thing. Look at that thing. And he turns around. And the minute his eyes fastened to it, the power hits again. It hit over and over and over. It worked for thousands and thousands until everyone was convinced it never would fail. Worked perfect. Now Jesus says to Nicodemus, how must you be born again? Listen, as Moses lifted that serpent in the wilderness, that whosoever would look would live, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up in the midst of a world that has been bit by the poison reptile of the devil, and the poison of sin is in their vein, and they're destined to die. But if I, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever will, let him whosoever believe, that whosoever believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brother, God didn't say one thing about looking. They had to look at the brazen serpent. But God used that as a type. Now it said, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The same God that delivered them from that poison bite of the snake, the Son of God that left heaven and came to this earth with his own mouth, the one that has to save you, the one that does save you, the one that you have to have access to God by, the one that you repent to, the one you confess your sins to, he's the one that said, if you believe on him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. God's made it so easy for you to go to heaven, and if you don't accept God's great promise that he made through the blood of his Son, he will damn you in hell through eternity, and you deserve every bit of it for forfeiting and putting off. Listen, it said, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? How many believe God meant it? Meant it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And so, when we look, that jailer said to Paul, the earthquake took place. He was under conviction. He saw buildings shaking, window lights breaking out. He come, fell down before Paul, that old tough jailer. And he said, Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul, the great apostle, said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. One thing about it, God fixed every human being with a believer. You don't have to doubt. Any man that's in sin under the sound of my voice, you can be saved at your will. What does God have to do to save you? Not wiggle his finger. That sacrifice that was lifted up on Calvary paid for the price. And when you come and accept the Lord, the work is done. You believe it? You think God would tell Isaiah one thing and it come to pass and then put another little verse there and then God would ignore that and just lie about it? It said, by whose stripes you were healed. It says that in Isaiah. Peter said, by whose stripes you were healed. Did Jesus go before Pilate and did they give him stripes? Did they carry him out, strip him? And the soldiers whipped him and striped him. What was it for? It was for your healing, your deliverance. Am I right? For your malady. For your frustration. Why do you take any kind of sedative? Why do you do it? You say, I have to. You don't have to. By one sacrifice, God perfected forever. And any imperfection, when you reach the place to believe, it was paid for, it's done on Calvary, and by faith I can come and accept it. God said it, and the work was done on Calvary. You can be delivered from anything you have that you're having to take. You say, I've got high blood pressure. Well, thank God you don't have to take high blood pressure pills. You can come and let God heal you from the high blood pressure. Our sister right here, how many years did you have to take insulin? 7 years? You had sugar diabetes. You knew it too, didn't you? You know what happens when you take insulin? Your pancreas has been destroyed. You know what causes your pancreas to go sometimes ahead of time? It wears out before you do. You know what causes it? Certain things. Caffeine is one that contributes to the destruction of it. I don't say it's all. Some people maybe live a good long while. But any doctor will tell you that that agitates it, and it's one of the enemies. But anyway, when the pancreas is gone, there is no way you can get out of being diabetic. You have to take shots and insulin. Am I right? For 7 years, she took it. But one day she decided that Jesus Christ could deliver her from that, and she didn't have to take it, and you came and was prayed for. Is that right? And what happened? God healed you, didn't he? 3 years ago, you haven't taken any insulin. She eats normal like anyone else. She doesn't have sugar diabetes. What does it mean? It means the Lord just put another pancreas there. Should we expect that? Do we expect God, like Brother Thornton, he didn't have a lung. It is completely gone. The other one was 85% gone. He could not speak a word. He only whispered, like this, like this. And he breathed, not like an arm person, he breathed like this. Doctor said that now, finally, he was under the care of a lung specialist in Houston. I knew Brother Thornton real well myself. And the doctor said to him, you only have a week to live. At the most, you might pass out any minute. He came to Morwood's mission and had Morwood to pray for him. Knowing the doctor had had the x-ray, and the last thing he showed him, he said, this is 85% gone. I'm a specialist. I don't deal with nothing but lungs. I don't deal with no human part of the body but just the lungs. And I can tell you by looking at any lung on an x-ray, whether it's an old man, a middle-aged woman, or middle-aged boy, or whether he's a teenager, what he is, I can give you the age of the individual by looking at the lung. Do nothing but study him. And he was there, and Brother Marwood walked up, and he said, Brother Marwood, couldn't talk. He said, Father, made motions to pray for him. And there, when Brother Marwood laid his hands on me, he's going, Brother Marwood laid his hand, but he'd prayed for him dozens of times before because he's a member of the church. And he prayed and left, and he's still like that. Brother Marwood, with his hat and his coat in his arm, walked over to the door, put his hand on the doorknob to open it up. And when he did, God said, turn around and lay your hands on Brother Thornton. Something about the hand. He just laid his hands on him, but now God's getting ready to do something. He turned around to obey God because he knew God spoke to him. He turned around and took a few steps and just came to the back and just put his hands on his head. And when he did, he heard him go, and he let out, he said, glory to God, as clear as I'm speaking. He began to breathe. He turned around and he said, I'm healed. Boy, he said, I'm breathing way down here. Stood up. He went back the next morning into the office. Doctor walked in and said, Doctor. Doctor looked at him, his eyes bugged out. He said, are you Thornton? He said, yeah, but said, how you like my voice? He's a specialist. He knows what can be done and what cannot be done. You can't speak. He said, what in the world has happened? It said, Doctor, I was prayed for and God healed me. He said, man, you can't speak without lungs. And you have no lungs. He said, I have now, Doctor. give me another x-ray. And they laid him down, took an x-ray picture, and the boy, that doctor, looked there. He looked off from him, and just tears was flowing down his cheek. He walked to the next room, and he came back after he had taken the picture and developed it. He said to the man that was one of his co-workers, he was a lung specialist, he said, I want you to look at this. This is Thornton's lung yesterday. This is his lung today. And that other doctor looked at him and turned ashen white and said, you don't expect me to believe that, do you? And he said, I just took this picture of this man's lung. He's nobody special. He just believed God and was trusting God up to the last. God came on the scene. And you know what he did? He said, boy, do you know what's happened to you? I'm a lung specialist. You have a brand new set of lungs the age of a 9-year-old boy. Have you ever tried to follow and imitate every action of a 9-year-old boy 15 minutes without having a nervous breakdown? He'll jump over this, jump over that, hollering that. And if you tell him to sit down a minute, he's doing like this while he's waiting. He is full of vim, vigor, and vitality. And Thornton had a lung 9 years old. And the God that did that hasn't gone out of business. He's the same today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just glancing up to see if I could see the lady this happened to. She comes every Sunday. She was here last Sunday. She may be here. But she is in the hospital. And she had reached a place she couldn't go out with her husband or boys. She didn't want to cook anything to eat. She was just like an imbecile, almost. She couldn't function right. She couldn't think. She didn't want to be around people. And it was horrible, her condition. And she was on Valiums. And God spoke to me and said, I've got a message for you to go up and give to that lady in the Methodist hospital. And it said, but you go up and don't you give her my message until she is out from under the effect of the sedative she's on. Now, I didn't know at that time she was on a sedative, but God did. And he knew how powerful they were. And he said, wait until she's completely out from under the effect of the sedatives. You'd be surprised how many Pentecost people would take those things and put them in their body. One of our best members came to my church 12 years, never missed a morning service for around 12 years, and was a devout student of my Bible class. Took several of those, and they made him into such a thinking was so abnormal. He went in and took the bottle and took some more under the effect of that, and then decided to kill himself. As far from him as east is from the west. Got up on a stool, put a rope around his neck and jumped off. And then he came to himself when he jumped off and tried to fight and get back on, but he died. He killed himself. Another woman up in that hospital got up out of her bed and pulled all the tubes in a woman's nose in the next bed and had tubes in here and tubes in her arm, and she's in there jerking them out when they begin to scream, and the nurses came in and said something told her to do it under the sedative of that Valium. Another woman is raising the window, getting ready to leap out. And God said to me, don't deliver my message until she's out from under the effect of that sedative. Some people stays on it all time. Wonder why you're such a nut. You say, well, I think I'm all right. You just get out from under it and you look back and say, why was I under it so long? You don't have to stay under it. You don't have to be a slave or bondage. Who the Son makes free is almost free, but you have to take a few Valiums on the side. You don't have to do it. Oh, you have to smoke a cigarette. You don't have to smoke a cigarette. You don't have to drink liquor.
Some people drink strong coffee from morning to night. Caffeine. And then wonder why your nervous is a rat. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, you're knowing it now. Any doctor will tell you that. Why do you think they take you off of and you go to have your heart affected or something wrong with your heart? And so I said, if you drink coffee, you drink it right. Drink it once in the morning or drink it like we do sometime. I get mine with, I'll say 1/4 coffee. That's the weak kind, you know, not the real strong. 1/4 coffee and 3/4 hot water. And if they didn't have it, water, I wouldn't drink it because I don't even want it. God one time got after me because I drank coffee all through the day. You say, well, I do too. Well, you stop it. As a good man, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, doing one of the greatest works that I know of. Not in this country here, but in another country. And some doctor told him that it would help him to take tea, strong tea in the afternoon, and drink strong tea in the morning and afternoon. Sis Tibber knows I'm telling the truth because this is the God's truth. He wouldn't mind telling anybody. Can't tell him now he's dead. But anyway, he's a young fellow. Just his 40-some-odd. Doing one of the most powerful works. Love God, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. But he never went to sleep till after 2 o'clock. He'd sit up and read. And then he'd go to sleep by taking Valiums. But through the day, this is what he would do every day. He was at my place, and every now and then I'll drink a cup of tea. I'll take one little thing. And I'll take that one little old thing, it's for one person, you know. I'll dip it into a cup and about say 1, 2, 3. Then I'll take it out and put it in the other cup and I'll give her part of me one. And that's as strong as I want it. It's something hot. But he would take a family size, that's for about 5 or 6 people, great big heavy family size, put it in scalding water and leave it there and let it seep for about 20 minutes.
Three of them.
Three family size until it was black as my shoe. And I said to him, if I take that one little one, not three big ones, but one little one, I said, man, that'd kill me. Oh, he said, doctor said it's good for you. That's the last time I saw him. And when he would, they say that a normal cup of tea has more caffeine than a normal cup of coffee. Doctors say that. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But they say a cup of tea has more caffeine than a cup of coffee. What was he putting in his system every day? What stress was his pancreas having to undergo? Then his whole system was built up to alert you. You drink coffee to stay awake at night. You know, you're bored. You just do anything, you know. And here you are. And so this tea had built him up to a super up. And he'd stay up till 2 o'clock reading and all. Then he'd take his 5-point Valiums. And they would do what? The tea was saying, I want him to stay awake. I want him to stay awake. And the Valiums said, I want to put him to sleep. Put him to sleep. And the system was undergoing a terrific strain. And it exploded his pancreas and he died. Doctors, to me, they're nuts. They'll tell anybody to do that. They need sense. But God said, don't you deliver my message until she's out from under the effect of those Valiums. He didn't say Valiums. He said out from under the effect of the sedative. I suppose she's here hearing me, and I'm telling exactly as it is. I went up to her hospital and went to her, and I said, sister, God has a message that he gave to me to give to you. God wants to heal you. And she said, well, Brother Abraham, I'm glad I have confidence in you. You go ahead and tell me. I said, oh, no, I can't. I said, God told me that you was on some kind of sedative and for you to get completely out from under the effect of it before I deliver the message. God don't want to talk to you when you're in a state that you're in a dreamy world and you're not capable of thinking normally, right? And it's a positive fact. They have changed many people's dispositions and changed their whole character and everything. And your thinking is completely different. You're warped up every way, like a dog's hind leg. You never see a straight one. How many it takes, he told me. And I went to a doctor. And I said to him, doctor, if a person is taking Valiums, and that hers wasn't quite as strong as a lot of people, if they take this grain Valium so many times a day, two times or three times a day, and they've been on it, he said, how long has she been on it? I said, well, and she told me how long she'd been on it. How long would it take them to be completely out from under the effect of that to where they can think rationally? God help you, I wouldn't want to walk across the street and not be able to think rationally. I wouldn't want to try to raise children. I wouldn't want to make any decision and be under something that God Almighty said, don't deliver any of my words until they're out from under the effect of that. You say, what must I do? Get rid of it, just like a woman did over in Fort Worth. She said, well, looky here, I'm just about to go to pieces. I said, yeah, but they never have helped you. You've been on them for months. You take a handful a day. I said, it'll finally kill you. Throw them away and look to God and ask God to heal you. He did, and God gave her a new set of nerves. She came back the next day. She said, Brother Hibbert, I went to sleep. Slept all night. Praise God. So I went to this doctor and I asked him, I said, how long did it take? He said, if it's that green, been on them that long, she takes them two times a day, I think it was, it would take her right at 3 or 3.5 full days and nights for her to be out from under the effect of the Valium. She stops off. Boom! Stops off. It would take her 3.5 days for her system function normally, for her mental thinking to grasp, to make decisions. Why couldn't she go among people? Why couldn't she go out to dinner with her husband? Why couldn't she go in and cook? Why? Because she had thrown her entire system. Her spirit was walking and her old flesh was riding the horse. That's what Solomon said. It's a crime when the prince walks and the servant rides. Her body was living high, and her spirit was dying on the inside. And after 3 days, I went to her, into her home. By the third day, the doctors let her out, and she went to her home, and I knelt and prayed with her, and God gloriously healed her. And right after that, she's been going like an 8-day clock, coming to church, going out in the public, enjoying fellowship, taking her children out, going out with a companion, enjoying life. But the thing she was paying money for to help her was not helping her at all. They give you nerve medicine. What does it do? Have you ever seen number one ever healed of nerves? No. It is just to keep you from running the doctor crazy with your troubles. He just says, go ahead and get on this and get rid of them. Now let me tell you one thing. Jesus Christ made a provision. If you have been bitten by any type of sedatives, I don't care what it is, if you can't lay coffee down and do without it just as good as taking it, you get it in the place where you can go. I can get up and go a week without even touching coffee. When I do take it, it's just barely colored. I know that's not going to hurt me. And if God tells me to leave that alone, I'd do that. But it never bothers me. I've got good nerves. I go to bed. I put one leg up there. And if I don't watch, I'm snoring before I get that other leg up there. Sister Everett said, you beat all I ever saw. And I've got a good body. I'm healthy. I eat good. Every part of my whole being functions right. Why? Because I put fruit juice in it. I won't carry a load if I'm pressured. If there's a pressure there, I get down on my knees and do what God said. He's the big boss. He said, casting all your care upon him. And when I get up, I feel light.
and that I eat good food, good vegetables. I don't stuff myself with a bunch of stuff that'll kill you and eat out of a can and never really get good food. But we have one body only. We have one time to pass through this life. And if we're on crutches, I don't care what it is, get rid of them and ask God to deliver you and set you free. Let's stand to our feet. I'm not against doctors, no more than I am against preachers. I make an awful lot of statement about what preachers do to people, and boy, they do. They're tearing them up. I say they're tearing them up, lying to them. I don't mean all of them. There's good doctors. People that don't have faith have been a great blessing. Doctors have been a blessing to a lot of people. I'm talking about a bunch of them that are doing things that God knows wrong and you knows wrong. Jesus Christ tell you, but whose stripes you're healed, goes in one hour, out the other, and said, thank you, Lord, I'm glad you told me that. Doctor said, now I think you're going to have to be in bed for 6 weeks. Okay, doctor, I believe that. Honey, I'm going to have to be in bed for 6 weeks. The Lord just told you how you can get out before sundown. And it just went out one ear and out the other. Goodbye, Lord. That is, thank you for telling me. Doctor tell you something, you believe it. Like one man, he's there real sick, you know, boy, pulse real low. And finally he said, kind of sleepy, you know, been having going through a lot. And he, like that. And the doctor, elderly, he was just doing like this. He said, he's gone. And the old boy looked up and said, no, I'm not. And the wife said, now, honey, the doctor knows best. That's not all of them. As I said, that's not all of them. But how many of you? Doctor tells you something, scares you to death. Doctor said, you got a cancer. And the Lord tells you, by my stripes, you're healed of cancer. Am I right? How many this morning you want God to help you on some line? I want you to come right here to the front and stand. I'm going to pray for you. And God's going to answer my prayer. God wants you to believe. Do what? As same as we look to Christ, we're born again. There's the power of His stripes to heal you. And I'm going to pray that God will set you free and deliver you from your fears, your nervous condition, your maladies, no matter what it is. If you're having to be on crutches, if you're taking anything, you don't have to do it. You can come up here and let God set you free. Come on. God's talking to you. While they're playing, others are coming. I'm going to tell you one thing. You can't serve God right with a sick body. How many out there, up there in the balcony, you say, Brother Everett, I don't have no affliction, far as I know. I've got a good, healthy body. Let me see your hand all over the place. All right, there's a lot of you. They're still coming. How many you raised your hand a while ago and you prayed for God to let me speak what was needed? I didn't bring one verse of my sermon. It's as good as it was when I started. And I've never said one word about it. I can still preach it any time. God gave me the message I brought to you. I felt right at the last God was changing my message. But God doesn't want you to be under strain. And when you turn Christ down, He wants you to have faith and put your trust in Christ and believe God for victory. God's here to do it. Is there anybody else under there or up in the balcony? You're nervous? Huh? Are you nervous? Are you having problems with it? You don't have to have a crutch. I didn't muster this up myself. God laid it upon my heart. I'm going to get ready to pray. We're going to ask God to undertake. What does He have to do? He's already done it. The Bible said, who the Son makes free is free indeed. I want every person in the balcony to pray with Brother Hibbard
I want everyone under the arches, I want you to pray, the ones down here. I want everyone that's come to the front, I want you to raise your hand to the Lord. And we're going to pray a simple prayer, and Jesus Christ is going to do what he said he would do. Put your hand up and ask God right now to loose you and set you free from everything that would problem or be a trouble to you. Heavenly Father, in the name of thy holy Son Jesus, who died for us on Calvary, I come now in behalf of every one of these that have come to the front. Lay your hand upon that life. Set that individual free from any bondage, from any sedative, from anything, alcohol, tobacco, caffeine of any kind. God, you can do it. I pray that you'd come right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for answering prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, God has just spoke a word to me. I shall give it to you. The Bible said we are the oracles of God. God used us to speak through, because he speaks to us. The Bible says he does. That's what it's for. It said the Holy Ghost listens, and whatever he hears, that will the Holy Ghost speak. The Lord just spoke to me. If God honored a mere type in the wilderness where their whole body was being affected by a venom and a mineral poison that was affecting the whole body, and that could be controlled by a type in a wilderness by merely looking, and then it didn't happen, and then you'd turn around and say, well, try it again now, and you look again, and it didn't work. Well, we'll look again, and then maybe the third time it would work. You know what? It never did at no time happen that way. Brother, when they eyeballed it the first time, it was all over. And if the type, God honored that, how much more will he honor what he said would be done in the stripes of his Son? Therefore, he said, when you come to God, don't believe he's going to be a rewarder. He said, when you come to God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He is right now. Put your hands up and say, God, it's done. I believe it and accept it right now. Father, we accept what was paid for. And you've done the work. You've answered prayer. And you've set free those that are bound. And give them liberation. Hallelujah. We believe it, Lord. We believe it, Jesus. We believe it, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful. God answered prayer. He just said, if you believe what you heard this morning, you can go out a new creature, a new person. This day deliverance has come. I've laid my hand upon you. He confirms his word. Now, God said to me, when you pray, he said, I'll put it in the basket. When you turn the rope loose, that's believing. So we put it in the basket. Let's turn the rope loose. And down comes the basket. Praise God. Now we're going to be dismissed. I want you to come tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget, Brother Tony Wise from Fort Worth will be here this week, every morning. Be believing God for a great time in the morning service, and we want everyone to put forth an effort and come that can. Father, dismiss us in thy fear. Bless us. Bring us back for the great service tonight. And we praise you for what you've done this morning for every individual, for Christ's sake. Amen.